there is a message that's been absolutely burning in me, and it comes out of our Tuesday group. Because just to testify a little of our Tuesday group, we have been walking through a lot of things in the last couple of years. And we've done School of Supernatural together, and every Tuesday we meet, and we have grown together more and more and more. And we're spending more and more time in Ascensions, and more time there than here. But it's dotted with some teaching and some sharing. We're learning as much from each other as, you know, anywhere. It's the best way of learning. And in February, the Lord took us on a journey through an ascension and actually commissioned us at that time to begin to become a legislative group. Now, we've been talking about that for a very long time, but we want to honor the Lord in it and do it His way. So He took us on a journey, like, what does that look like? Because we've recognized in our whole walk, the most important thing is loving Him and loving each other. And how we have grown to know the fact, that one fact, that felt love is really, really key. It has become a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper truth in us. And what he did from February till now is that in that ascension, he actually showed us a canopy, and it went over our city, and it had two posts of hope and peace. And through it, and I won't show all the details, although the details are wonderful, that he asked us to come under a ketubah, or under a chuppah, and we looked at that and said, well, that's like a covenant ceremony. We're going to write our ketubahs, which Mike shared a little bit about. So we wrote, a group of 20 of us, a ketubah with the Lord for what he's called us to, and it was a process. It was a 3-month process of ascending, of studying, of analyzing, of separating. We did the laws of Jerusalem. Everybody took one of the areas, brought the teaching in. It was absolutely outstanding how he strengthened us and brought us to a greater and greater understanding every week of what we're called to do. We're looking forward to an amazing fall to begin to walk in something that we haven't walked in together, but he's brought us together in such a unique, unique way. And in writing this ketubah, is Ruth Wall here? She's not here. Ruth is one of the mothers in the faith, really, in our country, and has gone through probably every major move of God in Manitoba, and I'm going to say in Canada, whether it, and it goes back, what, we went back 35, 40 years. And she had all the documentation from the prophetic words that have been spoken over us and spoken over our city and country in that. So when I say she's in it, she was the opening day of It's a New Day, for those of you. Things like that. And when she retired from organizing the Jesus marches, she ended up in Jerusalem, and the to take a Canadian delegation. Myrna, you were there? No. But Myrna was part of it with Ruth. Ruth and Myrna did a lot of this together, so you were part of that history. Yes, like this. You were. But Ruth, amazingly, had this one little Canadian flag with a delegation, a small delegation. They were lining up in Israel to walk the streets of Jerusalem in this Jesus March. And the organizer came over to Ruth. Yonggi Chow had his Korean delegation of hundreds there. Canada, with our little Ruth, was here with her little flag, and asked, would you lead the march? Is that great? Is that one? What an honor. What an honor. She's paid the price. And so when you've got someone like that in your group, the only thing you really need to do is burden her more with responsibility. And that's what we did. So we asked her to go through all the prophetic words and bring whatever she felt was relevant to today. Is there something? Because we're writing a covenant with the Lord. We're saying yes. We said yes, but now we're formalizing it, and maybe not. That's not the right. We're celebrating it in the way that He showed us in the Ascension. So Ruth did. She was diligent. She went through all of the volumes that she has and came back to us with a number of prophecies that she felt we should carry into today. So what we did individually, we prayed over each one, took them home, came back and reported. We took all this very seriously. But where we landed was, as great as this procedure was, they weren't the words to us. And so we didn't feel the responsibility of them. But what we did in our ketubah and the end of it is to honor what had been gone before and to take out from that, in a very short point form, the things that we were willing to say amen to, and we put it as part of our ketubah. It was we felt we wanted to honor the past. We're not living there. We're doing what the Lord says and we're moving forward. But what we are learning is the power of love. In all of what we're doing, in all the fun, we have some meetings that we just laugh. That's all we do. Not the Toronto Airport laugh that, you know, we went to and it was, and I'm not making fun of that. That was joy. But sometimes we're just laughing at each other because we haven't got it figured out. We are in a process of figuring things out. Sometimes we got mad at each other and didn't want to come back, but we came back. Well, Ed and I lived there, so. What can I say? Ed is the pillar in the place. He's the only man in this group of a bunch of women. Repeatedly every Tuesday, it's his delight, and he wants to honor what is going on in his home. And I know you all feel that because I hear your comments. So you get hugged. You get hugged when you walk in our house. So my biggest question of the Lord in this is: we talk about love, and yet we use the words so frivolously. We love hot dogs. I really love that movie. Love that Mike could come in. Love you, Pat. But when I said that, my heart changed. The rest, but who knows what is the real deal, right, when we use it. So what I wanted to do is understand how the Lord works in us, in our hearts. If we're saying to people, and really, we're speaking amongst ourselves because we're really in this, so you other people can listen. But we want to know, if you're holding somebody in your heart in love, what does that mean? And then the Lord says, okay, that's a nice statement, isn't it? Hold a person in your heart. Then He said, you've got to feel it in your heart. It's not a term. But not only is it not a term, it's actually a person. Love is a person. How does that all come together? And I have a friend in the group named Susan that I won't mention what her name is, but she likes things practical. Like, just give it to me. Don't take the long way. Just shoot, right? Like, we want it. And you know what? She's right. Like, let's understand this stuff. And that's what we appreciate. We sharpen each other, don't we, Pat? See, Pat laughs. So there is a power of love. Wrong button. Isn't this fun? Don't I just so look like Mike? I know. I'm pressing a button. Mike, I'm pressing a button. Oh, this is a pointer. What am I not pressing? How many times do I have to be shown? More than once, clearly. Thank you. I Don't you look at that face. You could join our group. See, you'd be good at laughing. So we're learning. This is a PowerPoint I'm going to do like Mike, right? And because you can't read very well, I'm going to read it for you. And I don't have to give you the notes, so here you go. We're learning the importance of holding people and situations in our hearts. This is all written wrong. We're learning the importance of holding people in our heart and situations. Holding them in our heart is God's way to be effective in all we do, relationally and in prayer. Okay? So, there we go. And our heart and our brain talk to each other all the time. The brain will say, we didn't get a single thing done today. Our heart says, gasp. Sounds it so. You say that like it's a bad thing. Can you read that? I'm going to bed. Wake me up when the world is fixed. Brain says, sorry, the world needs you. I like this one. We've gone 0.04 miles. Should we stop? Let's keep going. Actually, let's stop. The heart says, shut up, shut up, shut up. There's a war on at times between our thinking and our feelings. The brain says, we've got a problem, heart. What do you think we should do? Heart says, let's complain about it till it magically disappears. Sometimes I think people are just getting worse. The heart says, then we just got to get better. The brain says, he's looking at the past, sigh. And the heart says, let's live there. The heart says, let's share everything with everyone. The brain says, I don't think that's really a sustaining business model. We've actually made that error, six times? The reality is, we're in this together. The heart and brain are in this together. Are you laughing at me yet, Tim? Yeah, you see you're poised for it, aren't you? Yeah, Tim's in one of our groups too. He's a problem at times. Science has shown our brain and our hearts, has shown that our brain and our hearts have an electromagnetic field, and both of them extend beyond our body. It's exactly what your brain looks like, just so you know. It does extend. However, our heart extends 5,000 times greater than our brain. The electromagnetic field of our heart, I just like this picture because I like the visuals of actually what is around us, what actually is happening. It's the unseen, it's the quantum world, however we want to look at it. The heart is the most powerful generator of electromagnetic energy in the human body. That's our heart. The effects of this electromagnetic field is significant to our relationships with man and all creation. It says, all creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of man. And do you know that nature itself is starting to respond to the sons of God? Ed and I have the privilege of living on the Lake of the Woods for many months of the year now. And we're seeing how we actually cooperate at times, but also have authority over the nature around us. Two times we have stopped a tornado coming to hit our cottage, coming directly at us. We watched one split as it came up on the shore, split and went down the bay, left and right. The trees are still there, like this. That's happened twice. Last year there was a bug infestation, you know, that army worm? And it was the infestation from Kenora Girls all the way down to where we are. And I looked at that and I thought, that's fine, but does not apply to us. So we set a boundary around our property. The bugs ate, these armyworms take the leaves, completely strip the trees, and we have pictures of them stripping it right to our property line where ours is going. You know what? We're practicing everything. We are totally practicing everything as we're learning these things. But creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of man. Do you know why? Because we are the electromagnetic field on this earth that's going to make the difference. A science is actually able to measure this effect that we have on the earth. So I want to introduce you to a satellite. Its name's GOES, G-O-E-S. It's Geostationary Operational Environmental Satellite. Our heart emits an electromagnetic field that changes according to our emotions. Others can pick up the quality of your emotions through the electromagnetic energy radiating from our heart. It's actually measured, it's up there now, in the northern and southern hemisphere. This gadget that is there, I hope you can see it. And it's measuring all the time the electromagnetic field and what is happening on the earth. This is NASA. This is for real. At 9/11, these satellites were up there and they were recording what was the electromagnetic field of the earth, and it was being put on this graph. At 9/11, they noticed huge spikes in the field on the earth. And actually, they didn't know it was 9/11 until they put the graph on a calendar to see when the spikes, I actually have pictures of it, but I was trying to keep this short, of seeing these spikes. And it was right at the time of the crash of the planes into the towers that these spikes went off the scale. But the interesting part of that was, even though those spikes went off the scale at that time and is recorded in these satellite images, what happened was that the days leading up to 9/11 started to spike. So what it showed them and what they're struggling with is, what the heck? There's an electromagnetic force on the planet, and you know who it is? It's us that are either operating in love or in fear. And it is registering on the electromagnetic field is registering even in space on these satellites. During the International Peace Project, they did the same thing. I'm not going to go more into that, but at that time it was the opposite. When a whole region was in peace and it was in the people's hearts, the electromagnetic field is 5,000 stronger than the brain, so peace is now emanating from a group of people through their hearts. It actually registered. And of course, as people got back to normal day life those things changed. Science can and actually does measure the effect. There are instruments that if we had the technology could be in this room, and we could change the electromagnetic field in this room. And by the way, we're going to, because it's going to be something that you're going to take home with you, I believe. I'm declaring that. And they, like the scientists, have done experiments with the very substance that we are made of to show that when our heart and brain are in coherence, that we can actually change matter. How about that? We can cure disease in our bodies. We can change weather patterns. We can live longer. More of that later. And the most recent study revealed that our heart has its own brain. We think that we are actually thinking in our brains. Well, our heart is our largest thinking organ. The heart's nervous system contains around 4 40,000 neurons called sensory neurites that communicate with the brain. They call it the little brain in the heart. ImagineAchieve.com, but I want to also refer you to another website that's called HeartMath.com, where you'll want to see some more information. So if our human heart collective during certain emotional times is measured by satellite, when we come together, we can actually affect the world. Guys, when you're in your groups and in your hubs and the things that we have the privilege of gathering together, when we are in this place with the Lord and we're together, we are creating a force. When we move from our hearts, the electromagnetic field in our hearts, I'm going to say it over and over, in love, we can affect the world. The heart has a system of neurons that have both long and short memories, so things are stored in our hearts. Their signals sent to the brain affect our emotional as well as our physical experiences. We're going to see how that happens. Emotion creates many physiological benefits in our body. You wouldn't disagree, would you? When you're happy, you feel like you can run the marathon. When you are grumpy, mad, or want to shoot somebody, you don't feel like doing anything and often go into really silly behaviors. The heart sends the signals to the brain that can influence our perception, our emotional experience, and a higher mental process. So when our heart is right, our brain is what it's affected. How many times have we said, we've got to get it from here to here? I've done it for years. I thought that was the process. I thought the process was, I got the information here, and now I've got to get it to my heart so it can... Wrong. Our heart is where it comes to, and it changes our thinking. It's totally the reverse. Did you know that you can boost your immune system by conjuring, love that word, it's so new age, love that, conjuring positive emotions? Our emotions count for something. We're not discounting emotions. You cheeky Eddie, you're sitting there smiling at me. It heals disease, it brings peace, eliminates stress, can shift weather patterns, can actually move mountains. Actually can. The moment that you change your perception is the moment that you rewrite the chemistry in your body. Research is indicating that human emotions and consciousness encode information into the geomagnetic field, and this is encoded information is distributed globally. The Earth's magnetic fields act as carrier waves for this information, which influences all living systems and the collective consciousness. Is that a statement to be reckoned with? Our heart, our consciousness affects not just our it affects our body and mind completely, what is around us, but it has regional, provincial, national, global influence. Now, I'm sharing this because when I started the study, all I wanted to know was, why felt love, Lord? Why about our heart, right? Well, because he wants us to be world changers. We use those terms. You're going to affect the world globally. And we're wondering why it's not happening yet. But I think this is part of the key. This is the key. This is part of the answer. The greater understanding that we have in our heart, and the more we start to actually step into the Lord in it, the greater effectiveness we're going to be. We have something to hang your hat on, my father would say. So then, what is prayer? That's such a familiar sight, isn't it? Such a familiar sight. Why do we say that you have to be able to hold a person in your heart to be effective when you pray? Galatians 6, 7, and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he'll reap. So why is felt love in our hearts so important? Because love connects. I love this because on some computers that looks a little, that should be on all our computers instead of the internet sign. It creates an arc. This love creates an arc between us and situations. I'm dedicating this next slide to Nikki, because this is where we started years ago, seeing ourselves arcing from Winnipeg to Winchester and experimenting a bit. How does that work, right? How does love work in distance? And we saw that, and I remember having a conversation as well. What would it look like to affect the world? This is what it looks like to affect the world. Do you know what arcing is? This is a little bit about rabbit, but it'll be fast. It's aligned hearts, aligned emotion, aligned purpose. That's what we do when we get together in our group of corporate ascensions and get mandates from the Lord. And the reason that we use the term arcing is, there's the first one with the first model. Those cherubim caught were arcing over the ark of God. And when the Lord came down on it, right, there was a flame. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Here's the thing. Emotions plus thoughts equals your feelings. And we need felt love in our heart to be effective and to cause the proper electromagnetic force to be coming from us. So we have to now deal with the emotions, which are our reactions, and our thoughts, which is our thinking process, right? When we receive or experience a situation, we tend to think about it, judge it, and analyze it. That all happens in our thinking process. I want you to know that doesn't happen in our brain, or in our heart, in our heart. Your heart does not have any ego, and your heart does not judge. Your heart is the place that receives the feeling from your emotions and from the situation. So we have to learn now to deal with what comes at us. It only comes to us, into us, if we receive it. But when it comes at us, we have to deal with it. Then it becomes a feeling and lands in our heart. All feelings land in our heart. So the electromagnetic field is going to emanate positive or negative. Love, or the opposite, is fear. It's not hate, it's fear. Those are the two things that will affect this, hate will, but hate is based on fear. The root is fear. The heart radiates an electromagnetic field affecting each other's moods, attitude, feeling, whether you're conscious of it or not. We've all walked into a room and said, "Ooh, that feels yucky," or been in a party and next to a person you could hardly wait to get away from. Trust your heart. Trust your heart. We know that. I just threw that in because I really like seeing myself with the electromagnetic field. We can change the electromagnetic field from frustration to appreciation, and it actually electromagnetically registers. We don't have the measuring tool in here, but heartmath.com will share that with you. You can change frustration into appreciation in minutes, and it's a simple process. But let me tell, I think I'll just go ahead. It's a simple process, but you have to engage it. And you have to spend time practicing it before it becomes part of you. It's like anything. This isn't a slide projection you look at. If you don't activate it in your life, if you're not a participant, it's not going to change anything. But it's called heart-brain coherence. And it's this heart-brain coherence actually can be changed in our body by three steps. One, touch your heart, a place in your chest where you're, Nikki said it's over here a little bit. Place it on your chest where your heart is, and that gives physical focus point, and your attention now goes to that place. Okay? When we breathe, our breath sequence, and we saw on the other slide there where frustration, the frequency was like this, boom, 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 and then as you calm down, it was like this. Well, this is what happens when we learn to breathe. And we learn to breathe slowly and purposefully. It does not take a long time to do this. So when you put your finger on your body to give focus to that place, and then start breathing in a deep breath sequence for at least 3 minutes. It's not even a long time. But when you do this, breathing in, breathe out. Breathe in. We're going to do it, by the way. There's a little bit more to share before we step into this. And when you're doing that, we now want our thinking in place. So this is the time where we think about when you felt compassion, peace, joy, any situation that brought these emotions. So it doesn't have to be, it can be a time where you came on your holiday and stepped on the sand and looked at the ocean for the first time. It can be when you stood at the altar and took communion together. It could be holding a new puppy, and you feel that or the baby, the new baby, and that unconditional love. So that's what you're going to. Those are the thought processes that bring us joy and peace, and in our situation. Those three things, when you do that simply, gets us into a place where our heart frequency is about 0.01 hertz, which is the optimum resting place for your heart to release compassion and love. So if you're in a situation where you need to dial down, chill down, and stay in love, stay in forgiveness, this coherence exercise actually helps you to do it. The coherence continues to operate many hours after you engage it. So that means that your immune system is activated for up to 6 hours or more after you get to that relaxed state from the heart. The electromagnetic field that you have around your body at that time keeps going. Your feelings of well-being is heightened, and your capacity to operate in love is totally heightened. It emanates from you powerfully just by getting your heart into the place of compassion and love. And we can do it with purpose. So to create that, what you are praying or believing for, why we are not getting answers to our prayers is because we don't realize we need to feel the answer, not just think of it. This is a key, I'll tell you, it's a key right here. It can be difficult at first because it's hard to get out of our thinking and emotions, especially if there's been some kind of hurt. So if you are praying for a friend, the betrayal of the friend is the hardest, right? Or somebody you hold dear and you're betrayed by them. When those things happen, we can actually immediately continue to shift in to the love coherence in our heart if we do one simple thing. Recognize what just happened as neither good or bad. Don't judge it. You hurt me. Those words were bad. You stole from me. You hit me. Whatever it is. That was a bad thing. But you're not going to judge that. What we automatically do, don't we? We go into the spin cycle of how we feel about that comes at us. But when you speak out loud at it and say, "I forgive you," out loud, it actually changes, because the heart has a language that's given to us to speak to creation, and it doesn't operate in ego, judgment, or emotions. The heart operates only through the creative feel of compassion. It's our mind that is the trouble in it. We're to keep and guard our heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. So when someone hurts you, bless them. Embrace the emotion, learn from it, don't judge it, and respond to it by speaking out loud. I've said it twice for a purpose. The out loud blessing actually releases a space for compassion to go into. Does that sound odd? When you speak the blessing out loud, the verbal expression affects your body, relieves the tension that will make way for you to replace the hurt with compassion. If we learn to do it immediately, lie busting is going to be obsolete. We're not going to need We're not going to need the counseling and the things that the tools that we're using now, which by the way are good. I'm just suggesting that there is something else. We have many tools that we can use to deal with disappointment. The courts, lie busting, those are tools, right? They're tools. Ascension times come up here, break soul ties and others. But the feeling, when it is in your heart, actually becomes the prayer. The feeling, when it's in your heart, becomes the prayer. We say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Actually, I brought the mirror because it says it better. I'm just going to, Mike has it there. It's marked. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Awesome. Here's what the mirror said. Mirror says, persuasion confirms confident expectation and proves the unseen world to be more real than the seen. Faith celebrates as certain what hope visualizes as future. A little bit different, right, than faith is the substance. Mm-hmm. Persuasion confirms confident expectation and proves the unseen world to be more real than the seen. Faith celebrates as certain, what hope visualizes as future. If you replace the word faith, this is the Helen translation. I've been taking out faith and putting in belief. My belief is the substance of things hoped for. Because if you say, because I still have some religious mindsets at times. So when people say, "Oh, I don't have enough faith for that," it always seems to be a word that I can't hang my hat on as easily. Because God is faith, you have little faith, you have a lot of faith, some faith, all that kind of thing. But if you say, do you believe it? I have a place to land with that. I have to say yes or no. Do I believe that I can point to a tornado coming at me and it will die, or in this case, split? Do I believe that I can speak to this and it will be? I actually do. I actually have settled some things there in my heart, and they do. So when I say my belief is substance, it's the real deal. And what I'm believing for is framed by things that I hope for, and it's more real than not. So I believe something with all my heart, and it becomes the evidence, it becomes the reality. The feeling in my heart when I believe something becomes the reality that's in my heart. So if I'm believing for, if the doctor says to me, you have a hangnail, I don't know. Let's go serious. Cancer. Who doesn't get a little scared of that one? If you get those words and you let that word be neutral, not based on fear, if you speak out, no, that is not my portion, don't accept the fear of it, you allow for your belief system and faith to land in your heart on it. And your heart will cause the electromagnetic field to respond to what you believe, not to the cancer. You're just not, when I got this, it's radically shifted me. So faith is what you believe, what you see in your heart, and it's the unseen that's evidenced when you feel that it's already there. Until you feel it, if the diagnosis is this, and you're still feeling in fear, you haven't received it in your heart. When you receive it in your heart, you move into the reality, and it can't exist there because it is not the truth, right? Are you okay? The way of praying then becomes not a process or a program. It's not God do this list. How many go to prayer meetings where we're going to pray this, 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 and this? We're telling God, this is what we need, this is what we need, this is what we need, this is what we need. And then we go back next week and we give the praise reports, and we check off, doesn't happen in Mike's area or ever, but they check off the things that God did for them, because the heavenly butler is going to get a raise. But then we go back and we remind him of what he hasn't done. And how foolish are we, as though God doesn't know our needs, right? But we also don't take the responsibility. If this is what we're believing for, and we feel it in our heart, then it's actually done. It's a done deal. When you pray, let's say you pray for money. That's on your list. I need this. What you're actually doing is confessing you don't have money. But when you come to the place in your heart, I know it's a little new, you come to the place in your heart where you understand it's God's will for you to prosper in every and be able to give in every good thing, and he supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ, and he owns the cattle on 1,000, all what we know of God, he is sufficient in all things, and he lives in us, and our heart carries that, then what we do is we speak out our prosperity. Because it's already there. We don't confess a lack to it. Are we going on tilt yet, Susan? Okay. We become the prayer not just the person who's praying. I know, it's a shame. In him we live, we move, we have our being. In love, we are the most powerful agents of change that there is. And he is love. He is love. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, then the world will know peace. And that's what our world will look like. When I was traveling last time to Missouri, I had one point some hours flights to go there. Oh, and I forgot my Pashmina. But can I borrow the angel thing there? See, I have a friend who knows what I'm doing. I sat on the plane, and I always have a window seat because I don't talk to people. And I always have a Pashmina or something that I always hold. And I've been learning this, and I want it to be my reality. I want this felt love to be my reality. It's where I want to live. So when I pray for you and I say I'm holding it in my heart, it's because I can and I do, and I have felt love for you. Regardless of our relationship, I have, or whatever has happened, I have felt love. There are some people on the planet that I've had more trouble with than others. Being perfect myself. But I seriously have changed because I'm learning felt love from my heart. So I'm on the plane, and I call it cocooning, because when you got your blanket and you go like this and you tuck it in like this, nobody bothers you. So I'm in the cocoon on the plane, and you know, Pashmina just go from the.
Can't see the movie.
Does that mean you're not doing this? So I'm not saying you have to. I'm just testifying. I just look the good thing. And so I'm practicing the breathing, touching my heart. Let's see what I'm doing. I'm touching my heart. Now I'm breathing in, and I'm allowing my emotions to go in with what I've learned about how to create the heart-brain coherence so that the frequency in my heart goes to the level of being able to live in that felt loved place. And I've been doing it for a long time, but this trip on the plane and shifted something, and all of a sudden in the reality of it, this isn't sort of something you do once and oh boy, I've got the magic button, this is the wand, we're doing. This was something that when I learned this from heartmath.com of how they do it, they measure all these things and are really helping people to live healthy. I wanted to live in that love. I want to live in that more than anything. Like, that is my greatest quest, to be able to live in that love. So when I did that, something happened on the plane at about half an hour into just setting my mind on this exercise and saying to the Lord, I am so grateful, and counting the love that he has in my heart, and all the things just coming in. Something just shifted in my heart. So I said to the Lord, okay, if this is really something that happens, because I don't have a machine to measure this with, then I'm going to test it. And there are people that I have some more trouble with praying for than others. And one of them happens to be my friend. Just saying.
And I have prayed for him by faith. I have prayed for him by duty. I have prayed for him. But when I look at his picture, and sometimes when he has spoken, I'm saying, seriously, folks? Really? I know your mother. You know, I'm going to call her. And I do. And I should. But it isn't a love feeling that I'm feeling for him. I'm judging it. My ego's involved, because when you judge somebody, right? He earned that position in Parliament, by the way. We voted him in. We the people, I know it's not Canadian, but we the people, we voted him in. He is our governor. And I had this attitude. But on the plane, in my cocoon, as I'm breathing, and in that, I brought Justin Trudeau into my heart. And for the first time, felt love for him. Felt love. So now, praying for him is a delight. But since that time, I have been learning to walk in the heart-brain coherence in the felt love, so that when you email me and say, will you pray for me, I can go into that place and drop you in a place that I've never held you before, because it's felt love. And maybe that's a confession of sin, one to another, say, because we've always prayed for each other for years and years. But there's a shift when your heart operates in felt love. It's not a silly thing. It's not a little gamey thing. Scientifically, we can actually shift our beings into that frequency. We're talking about frequency and how the intent of our heart. Believe me, I don't want somebody ringing a bowl over me whose intent is not love, joy, peace, joy, or the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to set my heart to receive those frequencies when I know the intent is wrong. But as we're learning these things with the crystal bowls, with the frequencies, this all sounds a little bit New Agey, doesn't it? You know what? I'm going to just tell you something. The Buddhists do this. Ancient religions do this. They're way ahead of us. The reason that they can be in this heart-brain coherence all over the world in different religions is because it works. And they've got people that are living for hundreds of years, and they have secrets to longevity and changing your immune system and living in peace. Yeah, they may wear saffron robes and shave their heads and look a little dumb, but you know what? It's geography and dressing. Some people have got it, and we have kicked it to the curb because we have this religious attitude and a language. Well, if you have faith, Krista, you can do anything. You can move mountains. Yeah, okay. I haven't, but when I'm shifting into love, I'm seeing what I can do, proving what I can do. But the most important part for me is I'm loving it. Because I actually have found a place of love. I have found a place. And I know love. I married love. I married a man who is just the most amazing, loving person. We have been the most amazing, seriously amazing marriage. And I know love. And I know felt love. He's one of the thoughts of being able to be in that. But to get our hearts into that place is really key. And it's really key that when things come at you, whether we were talking about rejection at lunch, or things, stuff, the world that comes at you, not fair, right? Because you're sitting there doing nothing, mind your own business, and stuff comes at you. When that stuff comes at you, it comes at you. It's okay. You don't have to get in fear about it. You don't have to get in a flop about it. You don't have to ignore it either. What you can do is displace it. Is So if it's from a person, bless the person. Bless those person. Bless them. Do it out loud. Change that frequency so it makes place in your heart for the real deal. And then when you bring it into the real deal, it totally affects you. But not only that, it changes you. And for health, everything. But so shall we do that tonight? Shall we just set our hearts together? And just because it's good to activate and to try something. We don't need music, but you know what, Scott? Can you do a little more, sir? Yeah, nothing new age. Okay, I'm going to turn this off now.
Oh, I still need this.
Cocoon, if you will. See yourself. No, just really, 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 really soft. Just so that, just get really comfortable. The first thing we do is we touch the area on our chest.
So, yeah, thank you.
Touch the area in our chest where our heart is. Okay? So what we're doing is we're saying, body, you have a heart. This is the place. You don't even have to keep it there. You're just identifying it. Seems a little silly, maybe. So now, just begin to breathe in and breathe out. Don't hyperventilate and don't go fast. Just breathe in. Breathe out. Be really conscious of your breathing. Be really conscious of your breathing. And when it becomes sort of a natural rhythm, release your breathing. Just one thing at a time. When you do that, then just start the gratitude. Think of something you're really grateful for. Times that you have felt love, that you were a baby and a puppy, and experience. Might be the day you met the Lord. The only way is to be grateful and welcome.
That person's in a place where love lives, and that your heart doesn't have anything, doesn't judge that person. It's just the frequency of love. That place has an electromagnetic field that goes as far as that person is actually. It has power way beyond anything. Way beyond anything we understand. The science is telling us it's there. This isn't even scripture and verse, but chapter and verse. This is actually how powerful we are. We are. So now, when you speak about that person, you can start declaring health, healing, love over that person. You become the prayer. And you declare what is, not what you hope to do, what is, because God is in, the answer. Okay. We haven't spent a lot of time in this book. I'm going to challenge you to give it a try, It will shift you into an amazing place where you care actually living that way.